I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
All right, then.
Does everyone know when they're saying their name?
Yeah, Pete's last.
Mm-hmm.
Pete will go, I'm Pete Donaldson.
The last should be first in the kingdom of the Lord.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Football Ramble. Everton slide into the drop zone. Xhaka slides back into Arsenal fans' hearts. And James Ward-Prowse slides off my Christmas card list. It's Monday the 25th of April. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Hello, you beauties. Welcome along to the Football Ramble. Hope you all had a lovely weekend. Did you both have a good weekend?
Had a lovely weekend. Thank you very much.
Had a very quiet one, me.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
Painted a roof, though, on Sunday.
Wow.
On a very windy day up a ladder that I don't trust.
Did anyone... No, I don't trust any ladder, I'm just saying.
It's funny you say that, and you are tiny. Now, that's a really interesting point.
You could float away like a crisp packet.
I'm frightened of going up ladders,
right.
Okay? Much of the roofer I had over my house a while back is like,
laughing.
Amusement. Yeah, he thought it was brilliant because he was bigger than me.
This is my life.
I did the ladder to cut down the bay tree in my garden. And I said to my wife, the reason I don't feel comfortable up here is because I'm so big. And now you've said you feel the same because even though you're small, you still don't trust it.
No, but that's because I'm this small that even getting on your shoulders is high for me.
True.
So anything...
We're not doing that.
No, I don't want to be on your shoulders. But what I'm saying is that, I'm scared of heights. And
right.
I think it's logical I'm scared of heights because I'm vertically challenged.
So, oh, Luke, if you were both in a big trench coat, you would have to go on the top, Luke, and Jules would have to go on the bottom.
It would become a very small trench coat because Jules would be crushed into the ground.
Exactly.
All right, well, let's get on to the football from the weekend.
No, let's not get on to the football for the weekend.
Why?
Let's talk about you, Jules Breach.
What?
We saw the videos of how much
what
fun
videos?
You were having.
What?
Get boozing. Just boozing. Bad hangover yesterday. You don't get away with it. You don't get away with it, Breach.
She always got away with it.
Yeah, you were a bit distracted then. I thought I did get away with it. Oh, yeah, I was quite...
I had a few.
Someone read the rules and regs.
You enjoyed yourself, and that's fair enough.
I was very hungover yesterday. But it's quite good being hungover watching the football because you get to just lie there and just take it all in.
But if you're, I always find myself a little bit hungover on a Sunday, and if Newcastle are playing at half time, I always go, I just want to get a little sleep. And then I wake up 10 minutes at the match and at second half, and I'm like, oh, no.
Missed it all.
Yeah.
Missed it all.
Well, the other good thing about being hungover on a Sunday is you just order takeaways constantly. So
constantly.
I had Deliveroo to my house yesterday.
Yeah. How many times?
Just the once, actually, okay, but right. An absolute feast. And I didn't hear the door because I was watching the football in the garden, out in my little garden, little bar thing. Mm. And the delivery driver had to ring me and say, excuse me, like, do you want your food? And I was like, shit, I've actually got to get up.
I was like, can't throw it over the wall.
Just bring it over to the back gate.
Put it on Pablo's back.
Exactly.
I tell people in person when they say, I watch Jules, like, she's really nice, she's really down to earth and everything. And then you say stuff like that. And people aren't going to believe it.
No, I'm just lazy.
Jules is what people think I am.
What's that?
Just a drunken mess.
All right.
No, we're very alike, Pete.
Yeah,
that's why I'm here.
We're tiny.
Both little mini...
tiny little problem both chaos merchants.
Mini disasters.
Oh, dear. Right, football. So yesterday, whilst very hungover, sat in my back garden, I did watch the Merseyside derby. And Liverpool beat Everton 2-0, which means Everton are now in the relegation zone because Burnley won. We'll come on to that. Liverpool have closed the gap again on Man City at the top. It was a feisty game, wasn't it?
It certainly was. And
it was brilliant.
I get the feeling that, I think Luke mentioned before we started the football run that day, probably the better Everton performance that we've seen in over the past couple of months. And the only thing Lampard for me is giving his team is just urgency.
Yeah.
Just rocket up the bomb, really going for it. But their final decision making in the final third is pretty turgid.
Yeah,
and that's why Liverpool won. But Liverpool are probably the best team in Europe at the moment. So, you know.
Yeah, I think it was an old school derby, wasn't it?
Proper. This is what you want to see in a derby.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, if there's not at least one little fight, it's disappointing, I think.
Yeah, no, I think
and
actually,
there was a few in this.
There was yeah, good. Absolutely. Richarlison did his best to be a one-man tragic wrecking ball.
he's one of those players that I feel like, if he's in your team, you like him. I don't know, do Everton fans like him? You can tell me, guys. But if he's not, he's so irritating.
Right.
Well, For an hour, what Everton were trying to do worked well.
Yeah.
I think the only chance, we've got to be absolutely, you know, absolutely clear and honest about it. Everton are a far worse team than Liverpool. And that's no, there's no shame in that. I know it's difficult because it's a local derby and there's bragging rights and all the rest of it. But no Everton fan, you know, who's sentient is going to think, oh, we've got a really good chance of winning at Anfield. This is not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So they have to play to their strengths. And Lampard said it before the game, didn't he? We've got to do this, this, this and this, and we've got to do it really well to have a chance. And for an hour, I thought he did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Of course, like Klopp's changes like really made the difference. And the possession stats were like remarkable. Like, I mean, Everton's possession was something like 18%, which is, you know, incredibly low, obviously. But the problem when you do that and you embark upon a tactic like that is ultimately you're saying a point is massive for us here. Mm. If we can get out of this for it with a 0-0, then we'll be absolutely delighted. And of course, the stats show and the history shows that realistically you're not going to do that. And as soon as Liverpool score, you don't really got anything. You got nowhere to go. You're bringing on Salomon Rondon.
So you have to fight.
Yeah, and so they did. And I don't actually mind it. I mean, it's up to the referee to stay on top of the game, which I don't think he did that well, to be honest. But that's his responsibility. I think Everton were within their rights to play the way they play because it's the only way they would have had a chance of getting any kind of result.
I actually had a weird feeling before the game. You know, when you get that funny feeling in your tummy? It might have been that, might have been what
might
I
been
ate the night before. What I ate and drank. But I had a funny feeling in my tummy before the game that Everton might have been able to get something out of it. Like you say, Luke, probably like a goalless draw was the best they, going into the game, could have hoped for. Because in a derby, when there's so much on the line and, you know, you've got the fans going at each other and it means a lot to the players as well. Like Anthony Gordon's obviously a homegrown lad and he's an Everton fan.
He was great.
He was excellent for them, I thought, and denied a penalty. What was your thoughts on that? Do you think it should have been a pen?
The second one was a pen, for sure.
You reckon?
I think so, yeah.
The push?
Yeah. I went for the back of him. Was it the first one or the second one? Normally goes for the back of him.
Which is the one where they both had an entanglement. One angle, it really looked like a penalty, and then another angle, it really didn't. I get the feeling that if the referee had given it, VAR would have backed him up probably.
Yeah.
But I think his reputation precedes him a little bit.
Come before meant that it was. That's the thing, isn't it? See, the universe will even it out because the referee now thinks, okay, I've already seen him dive, and that makes it slightly different. What I don't understand, though, and I think you're right about the idea of VAR, But that doesn't tell us why we're still not getting these decisions correct and they're still not being judged on their own individual merits because...
Marla's trying to flick people's noses off.
Oh, that was absolutely bizarre
as
well.
It was so weird, wasn't it?
I think Gordon should take an awful lot of credit from his performance. And I know Seamus Coleman ran over to him and started pointing in his face, wasn't he, saying how great he was.
Yeah.
And Alexander-Arnold's one of the best players in that position in Europe. And Gordon had a really good time against him. And Alexander-Arnold in patches didn't really know how to deal with him. And he was their great outball with his pace. He's so quick and he's so positive. And that's a great thing. Well, I think he'll be... an absolutely brilliant player in the championship next season.
Once Gordon acquires a final ball, I think he'll be quite the footballer.
In the championship, he'll get 30 goals next season.
This is the thing now, is, and we will come on to Burnley in a bit, but they've got another win, and that means that they're out of the relegation zone, and Everton are in it. It still seems unfathomable. Is that the word?
Easy for you to say.
That was
it
a big word. Yeah, I'm quite impressed with me.
Second time in it, not
on
bad.
A Monday. It just seems bizarre to even think of them playing in the championship, isn't it?
There's a big thing that's currently against Everton. Well, there's two things, I think. One is the way that Burnley are now playing, which we'll come on to. Second is the remaining fixtures.
I mean, that awful.
Everton have got to play Chelsea next. Okay, that could go either way because of the way Chelsea are at the moment. Leicester, okay, away from home's tough. Then they've got Watford. They need to pick up points massively in those games because the only thing that's going to be play in their favour is the fact that some of those teams they're playing don't really have anything to play
for.
And
they've got like Brentford and Palace as well.
Arsenal were well in last season. Last game of season.
Maybe not Arsenal, but you could see Leicester. You could see them getting 9 points out of Leicester, Brentford and Palace probably.
Really?
The weird thing is I look at Everton now and I don't know where they're even going to get a point. I mean, obviously, maybe Watford.
Well, but the problem is, Jules, the big criticism you got to level at Everton, and I think the fans will be fuming about it, is that if they apply that application to that game yesterday, to every other game this season, they'd be miles out of it.
That's exactly
the thing. They were able to channel it and able to really find something to motivate them because they were playing Liverpool and they know how much it means. There's absolutely no reason they shouldn't be applying themselves to that level every single game. Now, it's easier to play that way because you're not really embarking on any kind of attacking endeavour. Right? So your assignment is actually a pretty simple one. Whatever happens, you're fucking Gandalf, right? They shall, you shall not pass kind of thing. Clearly the challenges will be different when it comes to going to play a team like Watford or Crystal Palace, as you say, because they're going to have to go and do something. They're going to be expected to win games because if they just draw every game between now and the end of the season,
it's not enough.
Probably not going to be enough, and it probably won't happen anyway.
But you don't learn to be a manager at Chelsea, for me, in that particular situation, with the sword of Damocles over your head. You don't learn to be to manage an expansive, creative team on the Titanic like Everton. I just don't think Frank's got what he needs to actually get out of this one. Benitez tried to set up a defensive team with a middle-heavy kind of set of players.
And bring Salomon Rondon in, one of your favourites, the big man.
But they don't create. They can't defend and they don't create. That's the problem with Everton. And it's been Everton's problem all season. And it's really coming up to roost now. They're in all kinds of trouble.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be really interesting, Pete, now to see what the players in that Everton squad have got in them character-wise. Because you've got to remember, with Burnley, they're kind of used to being down there every season. They're used to fighting and they're used to being in survival mode for certain elements of the season where they know they're going to be in and around it. And the players they've got have got experience of being down there. Whereas you look at this Everton squad, in terms of their players, you know, some of this squad are used to playing in Europe. They're used to be, up in the top half of the table. This Everton team aren't used. I mean, that's certainly not why the likes of Richarlison are playing there or Dominic Calvert-Lewin. You know, these players play for their country. They're not used to being in the relegation zone and this fight for survival now. It'll be interesting to see where they've got it in them, Luke.
Yeah, and you have to look at the lineup of games left and decide which ones you'd rather play. But ultimately, if Everton can pick up enough points, it doesn't really matter necessarily what Burnley do. But of course, now they've dropped below them in the table, it's not actually in their own hands. It is because they've got a game in hand, right? Yeah. So if they win the game in hand, they go a point above them. Look, we can't predict what's going to happen, but what we do know is that based on what we saw yesterday, Everton have it in them to work really hard, to really, fight competitively for everything. And I think the part of the reason that is because the pressure's off. They had no real, there was no real prospect of them winning the game at Anfield. And so that was easier. The challenge is going to be different between now and the end of the season. They've got to rise to it because if they don't, they'll be in the championship, and we've talked earlier in the season about what that means for a team like Everton. It looks like it looks something to me that's got a very similar shape to what's happened to Sunderland, given the financial situation. Yep. And that's not a great thing, obviously. That's terrible.
Mm. As for Liverpool, though, another win, 2-0 victory. And as you said before, Luke, it was the subs for Jurgen Klopp that changed the game. Divock Origi, he fucking loves playing Everton, doesn't
Jamie Carragher said, didn't he, in the commentary, if this isn't the game against Everton, Origi doesn't come on. And he still scored.
Can I just say,
crazy.
When I was making my changes to my fantasy team this weekend, I actually thought, shall I just bring Divock Origi in because it's Everton? And I just knew he would do something, and I bottled it, basically. I didn't bring him in. But as soon as he scores that goal, I'm like, "That this is a joke." He just loves scoring against Everton. He just loves it. His sixth league appearance and third league goal of the season. He loves big games as well. We all remember the goal he scored against Barcelona in the Champions League for Liverpool, corner taken quickly. That one's famous for Liverpool fans. And yeah, he's just, it's amazing that I heard Jurgen Klopp's comments this morning of what he said about Divock. And he said he's the best finisher in our squad. Now, this is either really clever man management, or is he onto something here? Is he a better finisher than Salah, than Mane?
Well, I think it's a really good management way of saying, you know, being positive about a player who's got no future at your club and who isn't going to start games for
who's
you.
Who's the best drummer in the Beatles?
Exactly, yeah. Do you know what Divock's, he's the best at lacing up his boots. You see him do it, the dexterity in his fingers. You're being positive about someone without kind of going over the top and putting anyone else's nose out of joint or giving
best
him any...
Best finisher in the squad, though. That is going over the top,
when
isn't
you,
it?
When you pick him up and place him in front of in the right position.
Yeah.
His positioning is horrendous.
No, I think he is a good finisher. I think he's definitely a player who could bring a lot to another team.
Brighton?
Unfortunately, well...
We have him.
Possibly, yeah. I would... I mean, I don't think it's a terrible move for him to go to Brighton.
Neither do I.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic for him.
Take
and for Brighton.
Long.
But he's not going to get in the team, that's the point. And this is a Liverpool team who have lost, what, one Premier League game since November or something. That game. I think they lost to Leicester, didn't they? That's it. And this is a generationally good team. So Everton can't take it too hard that they've lost this game. It's amazing for the narrative that Origi scored. It's amazing there was a couple of punch-ups. It was a great afternoon all round, really.
I love the fact that Liverpool are so amazing at football that they can't let one of their best players... In any other football, I'm looking at football team, I'm looking at Manchester United in this case, they've got one of their most famous, most decorated, most successful and prolific strikers, like just not signing a contract. And it's not derailed anything.
No,
no one's really talking about it. In any other club, Manchester United, it would be the biggest story and it would be a reason why the dressing room is fragmented and stuff. It's Klopp, you know, it's down to Klopp for me.
Yeah,
he's absolutely brilliant. And by the way, Luis Diaz, I feel like every
that touch.
Time...
That just, touch was unbelievable.
He's just so good. He's so good to watch. And he's just... Don't know. He looks like he's got a bit of a naughty streak as well, and I just like him. I really love watching him play. That assist for the goal as well.
Oh, it's class.
This is just brilliant. Yeah. Amazing. Right, let's talk Burnley then, because they beat Wolves 1-0 yesterday. The Mike Jackson moonwalk continues.
When was the last time Burnley had a week like this?
I know.
Amazing.
It's insane. I mean, they've picked up 7 points from a possible 9 in the 3 games since Sean Dyche has been sacked.
Yeah.
So it's looking like it was the right decision.
Will you sort of go, it was weird that they didn't have a plan for someone to replace him after all that time that they've had a manager like that. But they clearly went, do we need a Championship manager or a Premier League manager? It's difficult, isn't it? But
I still think there's got to have been a bust up there for him to have gone that quickly and them not have had someone to replace him, because Mike Jackson's not even been at Burnley for that long. I think he's only been the under 23s coach since January 2021. So he's not been at the club for that long. I don't think this would have been in their plans, but whatever he's done, it's working. I don't know whether it's just like a release of, there was so much tension and kind of build up to whether or not this would be the season that Sean Dyche goes, that maybe once he is sacked, that the players maybe are just playing with a bit more happiness. I don't know.
You've got to look at the way the new manager makes the players feel though, right? And he's
the way you make them feel.
There you go.
You're really turning me on.
I did the joke in a subtle way, a neon sign.
Oh, sorry.
Above it. It's okay.
You weren't good enough.
It's fair enough.
You're not good enough.
It's fair enough. I just slid it in there. One for the heads. That was at least a record, people. But no, joking aside, I heard an
ex-player. Love girl.
I forget who it was, but I heard an ex-player saying that, you know, when you imagine moves on, especially one that's been there for such a long time, it really galvanises the players who perhaps aren't getting picked or who can't see any prospect of being in the team, because Dyche's methods are going to be his methods for forever. He's been there for such a long time, longest serving manager, I think, in the Premier League, certainly in the Premier League, maybe even the Football League at the time. So, and it looks like a new broom. It looks really fresh. And if you look at it on the pitch as well, they're much more adventurous with the ball. They use the ball more. They seem more comfortable in possession. They've been just a bit more daring.
Yeah.
And I wonder whether...
getting in the box more.
Yeah, and if you're the ownership, you go, okay, well, he's always... You can look at it one of two ways. You can go, well, he's always kind of got us out of this problem before, so we just got to trust him to do it. For example, they're always better in the second half of the season. Or you go, we can't keep dancing with the devil here over and over again, because sooner or later we'll
That's
get caught
Michael
out.
Jackson song.
No, it isn't. I should have thought one, shouldn't I? Should have thought one. And they've obviously gone for the latter, and so far it seems to be working. And they've also brought in, it's not just Mike Jackson, it's Ben Mee who's come in and coached and been the kind of bit of a conduit between the coach and staff.
Handy,
and
he's, injured, he's injured at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of, it's weird seeing him in trousers, I think. but they actually found it quite hard to keep the ball early on, but their energy just went up and up and up through this match. And it's a really great time to find a bit of confidence when you fight for your life in the Premier League. But I think it's down to Westwood getting injured and Cork coming in, because Cork's been bloody great.
But do you think the three games they've played and they've got points, I mean, Jules mentioned it, the three games they've played, they've got 7 points. They play West Ham, who had who've got Europa League concerns and focus on that. Southampton have got nothing to play for, and Wolves have got nothing to play for, really.
I mean, so
Wolves
they could have
Wolves could have can push their way into the Conference League, So that definitely helps. It'll be interesting to see them play Watford away, because last time they went away against a relegation rival, it was Norwich, and they got beaten.
So good point. Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how it goes. But there's a lot more positive about Burnley than there is about Everton at the moment, I would say.
Were you just yawning at talking about Burnley there?
No, I was inhaling through my nose.
I was having a stretch.
Pete's like, oh, I'm bored of this one now. Yeah. but in terms of their running, it's definitely not boring. They've got Villa twice, which is unusual because, of course, do you remember when we had all those postponed games because of COVID? So they play Villa twice in the space of the next few weeks. Also got Spurs and Newcastle. But I wonder whether Stevie G would quite like to see Burnley stay up and Everton go down. might purposely forfeit both of these games.
I don't think that's much like. I don't think that's very much like that happens. I mean, because Aston Villa themselves haven't won for ages.
That's true. Yeah. They could actually weirdly get dragged into it. They won't, but there's a possibility they'll be right. They could finish just above the relegation zone. Mm. But very interesting to see how it all plays out. I've been told I have to mention Brighton 2, Southampton 2. I'm not sure why, because we were 2-0 up, and I had a ticket to the game, and I was so hungover I couldn't be bothered to go.
That's the spirit.
That's why the atmosphere is so poor at that. Really.
No, you know what? When we were 2-0 up, I was like, shit, I should have got ready and just gone. And then I saw it was 2-2. I was like, oh, maybe not.
I love the idea of the stadium manager walking into the Amex while the game's going on. There's not much of an atmosphere in here. And someone else is going, yeah, a lot of hangovers today. It was Brighton 2, James Ward-Prowse 2, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. James Ward-Prowse yet again.
Strike.
Do you think the football media community will ever get bored of just talking about how technically good James Ward-Prowse is? We know how good he is. We know he scores free kicks all the time. Why do we keep talking about it all the time?
Because he's that good at them. It's ridiculous.
The home form of Brighton is amusing because it started off quite well in the Premier League.
Yep.
And then it is... If the kind of trend continues at the same rate, you're going to be relegated next season with that home form.
No, don't say that.
From home form. Yeah. How many teams do that, get relegated because of their home form?
Well, we haven't won at home this year, as in this calendar year.
Yeah.
Last time we won at home was against Brentford, apparently.
Yeah, Boxing Day.
They need those little cardboard clappers like Fulham, don't they? I remember about Veerkost said that when he scored... at the Amex, he said it's just a really special atmosphere. I was like, that's a diss on the Volkswagen Arena, isn't it?
I've actually been to the Amex and it was quite good.
It's a lovely stadium. Yeah. It's the people,
Stop
though, isn't
it? Oh my God, we're good people, Pete.
don't listen to the Northerner. He thinks the same about all stuff.
Just because St James's Park is rocking now.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine like Newcastle fans going down on a Tuesday night to Brighton. Oh, that's difficult, isn't it?
But Newcastle United fans would... They massively threw their rattle out about Steve Bruce, didn't they? They didn't keep
the faith with him.
No, I think
he deserved.
But the atmosphere now is noticeably brilliant.
Yeah,
they're capable of that.
Right,
but they didn't stick at it, did they? They didn't support the team anyway because they didn't like Steve.
No,
Bruce.
They didn't support Steve Bruce.
They had a massive tantrum. They had a massive tantrum about Rafa Benitez.
Did they?
Rafa Benitez jilted them and left. and they couldn't get over it. Is
yeah,
that fair?
Okay, yeah, so yeah, massively fair.
So
yeah.
I'm fighting for you here.
I know,
yeah.
Thanks, Luke.
Sticking up for you.
I've enjoyed it's that. Not,
at Luke Moore. Is it Luke Aaron Moore?
Yeah, it is, yeah. I had a massive, someone had a massive pop at me about the Charlton crisps thing.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
They did.
Yeah. Yeah. Said, I'm not welcome down the valley anymore because I said they ate too many crisps.
You're like, I didn't want to go anyway.
It's the worst reason to be not welcome at the stadium.
So you said that they ate too many crisps, but apparently they all were eating crisps because of a protest?
No, so I think they eat too many crisps generally, and this is hypocritical because I eat too many crisps anyway.
I love right, crisps. Okay.
And then I found out once I said that,
clip that.
Once I said that, I found out they embarked on a crisp-related protest in 2018.
By eating loads of crisps? Or
chucking them on the pitch.
Right, well, that's not related to it, is it then?
So I can't be done for libel because I've proven there are a lot of crisps.
Why are they allowing at the Valley crisps to even enter the door? Why are they selling them?
I'd love to find out.
Concessions.
I don't think there's an appetite for dialogue at the moment. Right, so okay. You're not going to find out from me. You'd have to find out yourself.
Appetite for crisps.
Top three crisps.
Oh, have we got time for that, George?
Yeah, we do.
Pringles, all the flavours. If I eat a whole pipe, I am ill for 2 days.
It's not even
but
a crisp.
But I keep doing it.
It's not a crisp.
Oh, that's not even top 10 for me, Pringles.
It's a reconstituted like potato snack, isn't it? A crisp needs to be a slice of potato
it's
for me.
It's a crisp.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think
what,
so
you don't count like Monster Munch and Skips in there?
Ah, oh, you've done me there.
Yeah. I'll give a Monster Munch to a cat. On Wednesday, and it went.
Yeah, don't do that.
I don't like it.
If a cat has something to eat that's too salty, it licks its lips for ages afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic.
Mm. Oh, can we do another one of those games rather than the dog eating the carrot?
Anymore?
We have cat eating crisps.
What's the flavour of the crisp?
What,
just by the cat's reaction.
Yeah, pickled onion.
What type of crisp?
Cruelty to animals, isn't it?
Horrible, isn't it? Mm. Anyway,
it had the choice not to eat it. We're not forcing it.
Plenty more to dig into off of the back of this weekend. We're going to talk Arsenal, Manchester United, and we'll also take a little dip north of the border and into the Football League as well.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Well, now, Jules, look at this. You've got a fresh board. I think this is a slightly better board.
I'm going to go for Dangerous Minds.
Dangerous Minds.
You fucking wankers.
I didn't even realise it was Jules' episode. We were just watching Pointless. I was like, hey, Jules!
Yeah. So, I mean, I think
she's wearing massive ears and she's still tiny next to Susie.
I looked like Susie's child.
You did, yeah. You did. There was a lot of excitement in Football Ramble Towers that you were like, I'm Jules from the Football Ramble. Like, yeah, Football Ramble and Pointless. And then you did that. And people must have thought, why do they only employ thick people?
Can I just say, right, I was very unlucky with the question.
Yeah, that's
I was the youngest person there. Actually, no, that's a lie. There were two girls who were younger, but they were also shit.
But do you know what they say?
When it comes not to, as shit as me.
When it comes to quiz shows, there's no hard or easy questions. They're just the ones you know and the ones you don't.
Yeah, correct. And 80s Oscar you know nominated movies.
90s. Dangerous Minds is 90s.
No, it was 80s. No,
that's what I'm saying. That's why you were wrong.
It wasn't Dangerous Minds. It was Dangerous Liaisons.
Correct.
Yeah, but you said Dangerous Minds.
Yeah.
Did,
that's what I'm saying.
I know. And
that's
that
not even
90s.
An 80s movie. It's a 90s movie.
I know. But yeah.
Did you watch
that?
Any of this?
I saw it. Yeah.
I watched the All Ep.
Yeah. So it was 80s. And I was like, I didn't watch films when I was 4 years old. Come on now.
But Alexander
in
Armstrong.
In the 80s, I was four. You weren't
sat at home at 4 years old watching Dangerous Liaisons.
No, I wasn't. And so the only film beginning with Dangerous that I knew was Mines, and I don't even know what that film is, but I knew there was a film, so I thought at least I guessed.
Yes, good on you.
Thank
Alexander Armstrong and Richard Osborne were disgusted with you.
Yeah,
they were, weren't they?
Yeah,
but
I felt bad because I tweeted saying this is funny, and your dad replied on Twitter saying, "Oh, that's my girl."
I'm really proud of you anyway. My dad didn't care. He just literally WhatsApped me, and he was like, "My sisters said that you're on Pointless tonight," because obviously mum and dad live in Jamaica, so they couldn't watch it. But my dad's sisters all live in the borough, so they were watching it. And he texted me going, "My sisters have said you're on Pointless," and I was like, "Dad, it's embarrassing. Don't tweet me. Don't message me about this." And he was like, "No, they said you were brilliant." I was like, "Oh, I mean, I went out in the first round, but okay."
You can't get worse than that, can you?
No, you can't. No.
Your anecdote was more interesting.
What was the
about
anecdote?
Playing tennis or something.
Oh,
everyone
okay.
else's one, sorry, was really boring. I'd switched to county cricket in the 90s. Yeah. Shut up, boring. More Jules.
Let's hear Jules about when she met Sean Paul at a tennis tournament.
You know,
the other thing that's bad is when you just do generals Pointless, you get invited back if you get off. You get kicked off first round.
They, oh dear.
Yeah, but they don't do it on celebrities.
Right, okay.
Here's the thing though. Susie Perry's been on it. I think that was her third or fourth time.
Yeah.
First time she's been on with me, and it's the worst she's done. She's never gone out in the first round. I was
beautiful.
Like, I'm sorry to let you down, Sue.
I think you're quite lucky to get on the celebrity version of it.
Yeah, I think I was as
well.
You could have
done the normal
celebrity.
One. You could have done the normal one.
I wouldn't get on that because I'm not clever enough. But yeah, no. And in fairness, I think when I left, I said, "Oh, next time I come on, can you give me a football question, please?" Then I go up to the green room and I see the next question's about Ronaldo.
I got a pointless one, Azerbaijan. Thank you.
And the question after that was something on tennis. So literally, football and tennis were in the show after I already went out. They probably expected us to get through and maybe they angled the questions to, maybe they wanted us to win.
Celebrity mastermind, what would be your chosen subject?
Backstreet Boys.
There was that bloody drumming weatherman who did the music of Britney Spears. I can't stand that guy for some reason.
Oh yeah, not
what's
you.
What's just something about me I don't like.
He drummed for 24 hours.
Yeah. I don't know who that is. Yeah. Anyway, right, before we talk more about the weekend's football, let's just get a quick update on Betway's 4-to-score. Entry to Betway's 4-to-score is free. Remember, each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly 50 grand jackpot. And make sure that you put your selections in before the first game. Terms and conditions do apply. The first match was Brighton-Southampton. Andy picked Leo Trossard and the result was that guy Welbs. Yep. Game two was Burnley against Wolves. Vish picked Jay Rodriguez, but it was Vidra who came into the match instead of Maxwell Cornet, who was out injured. Chelsea-West Ham was our third match. Luke, you picked Mason Mount, which would have been a decent shout, but it was actually the American Christian Pulisic who got on the score sheet late on. And Liverpool-Everton, Kate picked Trent Alexander-Arnold. She picked the wrong fullback because it was Andy Robertson who scored the first goal in that one. We'll be back with another round of 4-to-score on the preview show this Friday. Now
all right,
it's time
then.
Time for this.
From Missouri. This is from Matthew. Due to a stomach bug going around and getting sick, I've had some time to go back and catch up on missed episodes. A while back, there was an ongoing discussion of some of the most bizarre and random non-sports related injuries footballers have had. It reminded me of an incident in 2006 when a pitcher for the Detroit Tigers in MLB had to miss a couple of games of the AL Championship Series, the semis leading to the World Series, due to pain and inflammation in his wrist. It was later reported that the injury wasn't from pitching at all, but from an excessive amount of shredding on Guitar Hero.
Yeah, brilliant.
Fantastic. He says the Guitar Hero had just come out and I fell in love with the game, dude. I'm a rock and roll fan. It's a killer game. Hell, I'm going to buy this. Guess I got hurt, dude.
Yeah.
You have completely to really go some to hurt yourself on Guitar Hero, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess like it's RSI though, isn't it? It's kind of like, what would you...
I don't want to see you doing that.
No, the top of my laptop.
How's your elbow, by the way?
It's fine. The bursitis is...
what did you do?
I was playing Guitar Hero.
I was playing Guitar Hero.
Genuinely.
I just banged my arm, take the bins up.
But is, I mean, went big. If you're a fan of a sports team, obviously in this case it's baseball, the thing is, I don't think fans mind if a player gets injured, of course. It's not their fault. That's how it goes. And if, even if it is their fault, you wouldn't know. When it comes to something that's so unrelated to your career and ultimately comes down to you not really taking your career seriously, I think the fans have got a chance. They're well within their rights to feel annoyed about it.
Yeah, but you've got to live a life outside of whatever your chosen sport is, isn't it?
Yeah, but do it responsibly. It's like, if I say to you, I'm going to go and drive a car at 200 miles an hour down the motorway, and you say, why are you doing that? I said, because you've got to live your life outside of your career. Don't do that.
Are you comparing driving a car dangerously on a motorway 200 miles an hour a man who just likes a little bit of rock band?
No, but what I'm saying is, it's about the excess. Imagine how strong and how good this guy would be at shredding at Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
Just take a step back. Just play it at a slightly easier difficulty level.
Yeah.
Have a great time still and carry on being able to play for your team. That's
what was
saying.
That hardest song that was on Rock Band? It was like famous for
Wasn't there one that like some certain gamers had made up that was designed to be impossible to complete?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, but someone actually did it. Pete told me about it. Someone actually did
Fire
it.
Fire
the
Flames
first,
or something?
It took 6 months. Yeah. And someone actually did it perfect without making any mistakes. And if you watch the video, it is insane.
Is it? Mm.
Yes, it's probably this fucking guy.
Yeah, it probably is. Excellent stuff. Well, keep your emails coming into us, show@footballramble.com or tweet us @footballramble. And don't forget, Pep Talks is back on Wednesday. Any dilemmas, problems you have, we'll do our best to try and help you out with them. So get those in to us before Wednesday. Right, back to the weekend's football then. Saturday's lunchtime game was Arsenal against Manchester United. Arsenal won 3-1, which means it's now 6 points from playing against Chelsea and Manchester United in the space of just a few days for Arsenal. What do you make of the game?
Yeah, all it's taken is a seismic war that's impacted on Chelsea's ability to actually trade properly and the worst Manchester United period in history for Arsenal to get 2 wins. I'm only joking. I really particularly like the idea that that Granit Xhaka bought yet another ticket for the long-range tombola. And this time his ticket actually came out.
Yeah.
And then he celebrated by walking off the pitch. He was fine, I guess, in the end. But like he really put the icing on the cake for Man United. For Arsenal, Man United are so bad. It is incredible to see.
They can't blame Harry Maguire this time, can they?
No. Yeah, they left him out. He wasn't even in the starting 11.
Well, I mean, I guess they had to because he had bomb threats and all kinds.
That's awful. It's awful. He's
terrible through stuff. But yeah. You just sort of think that like he was so much of a lightning rod in a team full of lightning rods, and they didn't play him, and they were still just as awful as usual. He had Matic on the.
He kicked off, didn't he?
Off with the Arsenal fans going, 3 titles for me, you 0. 3 titles for me, you 0.
And the Arsenal fans are going, I don't have a mechanism with which I can win a Premier League title. I'm just a fan.
I have 3 titles.
Oh, Scott McTominay absolutely lost it in his post-match interview as well. Mm. He was absolutely steaming. An explosive interview with every outlet that he did his interviews with. He said there's a whole load of problems in terms of players, staff, everything higher up.
He said, is dead.
There is no Lord if this is this bad. Yeah, he said, you know, we don't do any of the basics right. We don't play with any balls. He said balls like 3 times in this interview.
You've said this a few times. You said this before the show. So why are you pissed off with him saying balls?
I'm not pissed off with him saying
balls.
Was it
balls? You, Pete, who was pissed off with it?
I'm pissed off with him saying balls. I think it's very rude.
Okay,
is it?
Fair enough.
You don't have any balls.
Testicle fortitude, please.
Yeah, I Yeah, I was going to criticise Xhaka for his massively long knee-side celebration, but I stopped myself earlier because I thought, you know, fair enough, he's enjoying the moment. But it's incredible to see a team like Manchester United play in such an incoherent, like, disjointed way. And it does make me wonder when you hear McTominay, who, for all accounts, apparently, according to all accounts, is like a really good pro and like a really hard-working player and stuff. And you think to yourself, you can affect this. But I suppose what he would say is, I am trying to affect it, but no one else is fucking trying anything. Mm. So it's a very, very strange situation. I particularly love that there's been some reports, and I'm just going to read it as it's written. Reports say Ralph Rangnick will present incoming manager Erik ten Hag with what's being described as a shocking dossier of shame on every first team player. I would pay so much money.
I want to see that shocking dossier.
I want to read it.
Better, like remember when they leaked Michael Owen's dossier of shame.
that wasn't even designed to be shameful, was it?
A shocking dossier of shame.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's a sensational use of words.
It is,
I love that.
Fantastic.
I mean, I wonder who's top of the list. Mm.
Oh, well.
If they, they were rated, you don't?
I can tell you who'd be top of the list. I think top of the list will be Cristiano Ronaldo. Yeah. Because he only cares about himself.
True.
And it's a team sport.
Oh.
I very much enjoyed Bosco's shopping Jesse Lingard as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm sure he won't mind me saying he's told me that it is a shit show out there. He's like, I think he probably would mind that, to be honest, Paul.
Yeah. I mean, we all enjoy it. And Man United fans listening will be like, oh, yeah, great, you know, whatever. We enjoy it because we've all had to be subject to Man United's dominance for so long that actually it feels quite refreshing to to be able to
however much money they throw at it, they fuck it up. It's brilliant.
Also, last week we were joking around about the fact that we could just replay loads of clips of us saying how bad Manchester United are from previous Ramble episodes. So at least today, let's just laugh at them, shall we? slight change of attitude, isn't it?
They make such odd decisions as well, like putting Bruno Fernandes on the penalty, which obviously backfires. You know, it was a crazy, crazy situation. And it's the first time I can think of for a while where you going into the game, starting to watch it, you think, Arsenal will massively fancy this because it's perfectly set up. The gaps that Man United leave between their defence and their midfield is so obvious, and Arsenal's players are full of, their forward line is full of little tricky kind of in the space type players. It's perfectly suited for them. And then if you were saying that, you know, a while back, if you were saying that Granit Xhaka and Mohamed Elneny are going to dominate the midfield against Manchester United, you'd be like, well, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
They did.
Very interesting. and also, I just thought, just on the subject of Arsenal as well, obviously scoring three goals in this game, in the same weekend that they're linked to Gabriel Jesus, who scores a hat-trick for Manchester City, which is something that he's never done before for Man City in the Premier League. It's quite amazing, really, isn't it? And I think, do you reckon he suits that Arsenal side? Can you see him fitting into that setup over there?
Well, the Arsenal fans are convinced that they need a striker, right? Andy and I had a bit of a ding-dong last week about the quality of Eddie Nketiah, whether he can follow up what's come before and whether he can dominate enough to lead the line for Arsenal. I know a lot of Arsenal fans think that maybe he's not the player to do that. They do need a player that can do that for sure. Jesus is interesting because he's always really scored goals when he's been called upon, and City are such a unique case.
That he could be regarded as a bit of a bit of a failure, sort of, kind of.
Well, I don't know if you would say that
untapped potential.
Yeah, he doesn't consistently start games for City. I remember two.
You
or
would
three,
say he's essential.
No, but two or three seasons ago, he did play a lot and he scored a lot of goals. He got. I think he's gone two seasons in a row before for City in all competitions scoring more than 20. So he's obviously capable. Yeah. But in a weird
way, he's a Adobe illustrator in a world of Photoshop.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
what I would say is there's a comparison there, isn't there? In a slightly different way between. Do you remember when Kelechi Iheanacho was there?
Yeah.
And every time he called upon, it felt like he had scored goals. And and he makes this quite big money move. And you think, oh, he's going to just tear it up. And for whatever reason, of course, every situation is different. But for whatever reason, it hasn't quite happened for Iheanacho. I think everyone knows he's a good player and he's a very competent striker. But he's certainly not set the world on fire like I thought he would. And part of the reason for that is maybe because Vardy stuck around a lot longer and been able to maintain his standard a lot longer than a lot of people thought. It reminds me a little bit of this. If Jesus comes out of that environment, it feels like it could go either way, really. And it very much depends on the environment that Arteta is fostering at Arsenal, because I think he's doing a lot of good there.
And obviously, Arteta's worked with Jesus at City as well. So they're teaming up once again, potentially.
Would City be happy with him going for Arsenal? That's what doesn't ring true for me. I wonder if City would be happy about that.
Yeah, I suppose with Haaland going to City, that looks like it's going to happen.
But it's quite a patronising move, isn't it, to say, Arsenal can happen. It doesn't matter. Yeah. They're not going to bother us.
also this weekend, Chelsea beat West Ham 1-0. Christian Pulisic in the 90th minute. But prior to them scoring that goal, we witnessed what has to be up there as one of the worst penalties in Premier League history. Jorginho completely messed this up. I love that the commentator said just before, if you want a reliable penalty taker to win you the game, you put your money on Jorginho.
It was
so bad.
It's also complete bullshit.
Yeah,
like, he famously missed penalties for Italy for them not to go to qualify for the World Cup. He missed a penalty against England in the Euros final. Yeah. I think
he scored every one this season for Chelsea. That's probably why they said it.
Fair enough. But, you know, you've got to look at it in the round.
Look at it in the grand scheme of things.
No one's going to feel worse than, apart from Jorginho, no one's going to feel worse than that Sky commentator saying that before he took it. Because it was, I couldn't immediately think of a worse one. And so I tweeted from the Ramble account saying, reply to this with a worse penalty than that. And to be fair, people did tweet loads of worse ones, but this one was particularly bad. If it bounces twice before the keeper falls on it, it's a bad pen.
I saw a pretty bad one earlier this season. Crystal Palace, Wilfred Zaha took one against Norwich.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah, it was also really bad.
It was quite amusing because obviously it's Crystal Palace, who aren't my favourite team. And also I was right there next to it. So right. It just made me laugh.
For me, I wouldn't judge the ones that people were replying with, some of them were someone skying one massively over the bar or whatever. I think if you hit it hard with purpose, that is automatically better than what Jorginho did.
Yeah, I agree.
Because Jorginho's, it just looks so bad. It's like doing a Panenka where the keeper just stands there.
If a keeper can just basically collect it and hold on to it, then it's poor.
Definitely. And it bounced twice. Yeah. And some people reply, Jules, with a player from the non-league in the 70s where he scuffs it. It's like, he's basically playing on sand. It's not really the same thing. But that Chelsea-West Ham thing is a really interesting situation because I thought that game had such a weird feel to it, particularly the first half. It felt like it was absolutely nothing riding on it at all. Mm. And you'd argue that Chelsea probably, to be absolutely sure that third place, would want to win it, which of course they did. West Ham make all these changes because they got this game coming up on Thursday. And then you look at what's happening with Chelsea and you see they got hammered at Stamford Bridge against Arsenal. Mm. There's empty seats everywhere. They lose in Rudiger because they can't negotiate a new contract with him, which again is linked to the reason why there's empty seats. Tuchel doesn't look happy all of a sudden. It's a huge issue there, clearly, that has to be sorted out.
Again, funny.
It is quite funny, isn't
it?
Yeah, it is quite funny.
I thought
funny.
You said fanny. I was like, what?
Again,
what's
fanny.
What's to do with a fanny?
You complaining about balls earlier.
Yeah, and as you say, Luke, I think first half, I thought, West Ham actually did pretty well, considering all the changes that they made. And I think they'd have been more than happy to take a point out of this game. Mm. I remember leading up to West Ham's last European fixture, they played their first team against Brentford and lost the game. And that was the game where I think Zouma picked up that injury, which ruled him out for the rest of the season. And the West Ham fans were absolutely fuming about it. Well, a lot of them were anyway, for risking some of your key players ahead of the most important matches in your club's recent history. And I think this time round, David Moyes obviously maybe paid a little bit more attention to that, thought about, resting some of the players because they've got a lot of injuries in the squad. Only fit centre-half is Dawson at the moment, heading into Thursday night. And of course, he got sent off in this game, which thankfully that red card for West Ham fans doesn't mean he misses any games in Europe.
No.
But yeah, a very interesting one. I don't think West Ham fans will mind too much that they lost the match because it's all about, as you say, Luke, Thursday night.
It has to be all about Thursday night.
Oh,
it'll be great. Thursday
Can't
night
wait.
Will be absolutely
Can't
fantastic.
Wait. And we're going to Frankfurt next week as well.
You'll be covering it. You've been covering them all season, right?
No, don't. Lovely.
We're going.
Smashing.
Yeah, it's going
to
be wicked.
You got to Lyon, did you?
We didn't get to go to Lyon, unfortunately, but we're all there for the semi-finals this time around.
The final,
around,
so Seville, isn't it?
The final's in Seville.
I love Seville. So it's a lovely city. Oranges everywhere. Beautiful.
Let's hope they get there.
I think old Jake might pull rank when it comes to the final.
You reckon? Yeah. Do you? To be fair, myself and Daryl are saying, what happens if Rangers and West Ham get to the final? Who's going to present it? Because he's been doing the Rangers games the whole way along. So.
You have to do paper, rock, scissors, or have a fight and you'll win.
Great.
She's Rangers TV now, isn't she?
I opt for the fight. Right. Updates from north of the border, speaking of Daryl Curry, as he covers a lot of Scottish football. at the weekend, so the Scottish Premiership table is now split. So you've got the top half and the bottom half. And the bottom two faced each other, which was Dundee playing against St Johnstone. And honestly, these comments from Mark McGee, the Dundee manager, were hilarious. He basically said he was going on a diet and not using any radiators in the
filter. Yeah, we talked about it last week. Bizarre.
He took things up a notch on Friday, saying, "The boys have made me promise that if we beat St Johnstone on Saturday, then I'm going to go naked for a week, which isn't going to help anyone, but you just have to do something in order to inspire a victory."
Made me promise.
Well, they drew the game.
They drew,
By the way, going naked for a week, what does
Why?
That even mean?
I know.
When people say...
stay at home. It's a crime.
it's literally a crime.
Have you tried it, Pete?
the world snookers aren't at the moment, right? A couple of years ago, Mark Williams, who had won a load of tournaments back in the day and was seen as an older player now, and he had a real resurgence in form, and he's still enjoying that now. And he said in the early rounds of the World Snooker Championship a few years ago, if I win, I'll do the press conference naked, right?
Yeah, okay.
And he did win, and he did it. He did do it. So, but that's not, it's normally a thing, isn't it? It's like Gary Lineker.
Like
if Leicester
day,
win the Premier League, I'll do match of the day in my pants.
In my pants, yeah.
He's gone for a whole week, which says to me there's an underlying issue there where he just likes to be naked.
Yes, definitely, yeah.
And it's not because like, I drew.
It's like dads in the 90s always used to dress like Spice Girls.
Yeah.
So you just want to dress like a Spice Girl.
Can I just say that he actually thinks it worked? He said, well, we drew the game, so of course it worked. You can't say it didn't work because we drew.
I'll be half naked.
He's like, we didn't lose.
I'll tell you what's happened. Dundee went a goal up. This literally happened. Dundee went a goal up and it started to set in what was possibly going to happen.
Mark McGee started peeling clothes off.
The players are glancing nervously over at the bench and Mark McGee's wearing fewer and fewer clothes. And about half an hour from the end, they conceded.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. And by the way, in this game, there was an incredible moment. Charlie Adam made one of the worst dives. I mean, it's 10 out of 10 if you're scoring this for best dives in a game that you'll ever see. It was it was quite something.
And I don't make a habit, I hope people understand, of commenting on people's appearance. I think it's a bit of a low blow, but you'd agree.
You do it all the time, and I do it all. We all do it all the time. It's all we've got.
Charlie Adam looks really old.
He does look really old, yeah.
He looks... I couldn't believe that was him.
Lovely fella, though.
I'm sure he's really nice, and I'm sure it's not news to him that he looks old. But I think, you know, good luck to him. 36, captaining in his hometown club, whatever. Great stuff. It just made it look worse when he dived because it looked like an old person having a fall.
It was funny.
You can't call it a dive when it's Joe. You've got to call it a fall.
It actually was, wasn't it?
I was worried about his hip, is all I'm saying.
He does just literally, it's almost like his foot meets the ball, and he just goes, I'm just going to fall over here. He literally just topples over.
Maybe he was just tired.
Maybe.
Maybe he was waiting for a phone call from his grandson.
Do you want to end with a clip of Mark McGee and some choice words for his former Aberdeen teammate,
go on.
Steve Cowan?
Yeah,
this
go
is,
for it.
This is...
any chance of shutting up?
Did he?
Did he?
What does it mean?
I don't know. It's a Scottish thing, isn't it?
Did he?
Didn't who's that fellow with the feather duster with the big teeth?
Ken Dodd.
Ken Dodd. He had the Diddy Men, didn't he? Yeah, no, but didn't he have the Diddy Men? Wasn't his? I don't know who they were.
Sorry, the only Diddy I know is P Diddy.
That's
I'm confused by this.
That's true.
What is going on?
P Diddy
here?
And Ken Doddy.
What's that got to do with it?
Ken Dodd and the Diddy Men.
Yeah, great.
They also programmed Robocop 3 on the Amiga, but that is a very much a side dish.
Mark McGee is not referencing either Ken Dodd or Sean Diddy Combs. I could be sure of that. So we know what it isn't.
We'll find out.
We just don't know what
it
is.
I'm sure there'll be an army of Scottish people saying that's what we say when you say it's like idiot, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
You're Doyle or Ding, you know.
Diddy.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, before we go, just a little dip into the Football League, because at the weekend, big story, actually. Oldham are officially relegated after they lost their match against Salford City. They've actually become the first former Premier League side to drop out of the Football League. The fans did their best to try and get the game called off because they've been really unhappy with the ownership of the club. They went onto the pitch in the 80th minute with a banner saying, get out of our club. Unfortunately, the game did resume for them and the defeat was confirmed. So Oldham, for the first time ever since being in the Football League, are now obviously going to be playing non-league football. They'll be in the National League next season. So troubling times for them there and a sad day for all their fans. On a lighter note, though, in League One, good old Andy Brassel's AFC Wimbledon are struggling a little bit. They've actually dropped more points this season from winning positions than they have actual points on the board. That's some achievement, that.
This particular incident was hilarious because it gets dropped in the Ramble WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
And Brassel is always fuming.
Yeah, on Saturday, they found a new way to cock things up. They were 1-0 up. Mm. They were 1-0 up until the 87th minute. I remember being on BT Sports scoring at halftime because I always look out for Wimbledon's results because of Andy Brassel. And at halftime, I remember saying, Wimbledon are on their way to finally getting a victory. I think it had been something like 25 matches without a win or something crazy. And they were on their way. They kept their lead until the 87th minute. And then their goalkeeper, Nick Zanair, was taking a free kick from just outside the penalty area, but decided, you know what, I'm going to take a touch. He rolls.
Literally not in the laws of the game. He should know that.
He rolls the ball forwards before lumping it up the pitch. And because of that, Fleetwood then get awarded an indirect free kick for some reason, just right outside the penalty area. And they score from it.
It was inside the area, David, because I guess it was from the original point.
Yes.
So, have you thought about scoring more than one goal in a match?
But it also is really impactful what's happened there. Yeah. Because if you look at AFC Wimbledon's position, they now need a total... I mean, they're basically now relegated because they need a big 8-goal swing to get out of the relegation zone. Had they won that game, they'd have 39 points and not 37, and it would be a lot more more likely for them. That has got to be right up there with the most ridiculous ways you were going to effectively get relegated.
It's absolutely ridiculous,
incredible,
isn't it?
Especially like Fleetwood, who were right in there with them as well.
Exactly.
Stupid.
It's mad.
Silly boys.
Madness. Poor Brass.
Poor Brass. He'll support them through thick and thin, I'm sure, anyway.
Of course he will.
Him and his cardboard cutout.
I mean, he watches so much football that it's just law of averages means he will be watching AFC Wimbledon at some point. Watches all the football all the time. So there you go.
And speaking of all the football, there's more tonight. Crystal Palace play Leeds in the Premier League. So we've got that one to look forward to. And then it's a whole week of European stuff. I'm going to a game nights in a row this week.
Very nice.
Whoa. I'm going to the Etihad tomorrow. I'm going to the Anfield on Wednesday. And I'll be at the London Stadium.
You're living the dream.
Let's talk courts. What are we going for court-wise?
Oh, yeah, you know what? I'm sorting it out
today. It's
kind
of in the middle, isn't
it? You need three different coats for three different days. You can't wear the same one.
Oh, really?
No, absolutely not. So I think I'm going to go for a bright green sort of blazery vibe. Layers.
Like,
because, it's not winter coat anymore, is it?
No, so green blazer like Elf. From
Elf. Very green. Like the football ramble green. It's that colour.
I love it.
Flying the flag.
Yeah. I think I'm going to do that one tomorrow.
Last time you flew the flag for us, it was on pointless and you embarrassed us. So can you please make sure you don't mess it up this time if you're going to wear the ramble green?
To be fair, actually, whenever I do these Champions League games for CBS America, I get loads of lovely tweets from our lovely American listeners in the States. So it's very nice.
That's part of the reason we got you on the show, because you are actually genuinely quite popular.
Yeah.
But you're quite likable.
Mm. That's just that?
Yeah.
And you're using me for my Twitter followers.
We're like the old man, you're the balloons.
Exactly. That's right. Mm. Exactly. We are.
I'll take that.
The old man and you're the balloons. Exactly.
Cute.
Yeah. I'm the little chubby kid.
I'm the dog.
Right. That's all from us. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. And we'll be back tomorrow for more good stuff.
Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.